roll, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Goz. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goz, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on.
From the fight capital of the world inside our beautiful home in Las Vegas, it's the MMA Junkie Radio Show, the only show that matters. I'm your host, Gorgeous George, and with me as always is the devious and dastardly Goz, Ari's co-host. Goes, what is up? Monday morning this time, June 15th.
Another card in the books. This is becoming the norm. Every weekend, a card.
I versus Calvillo, UFC on ESPN 10, whatever you want to call it, took place on Saturday. We're going to go over the results of the fight card, which wasn't horrible. On paper, I didn't like it. On Saturday night, I didn't have anything better to do. It's also my job. So in the end, I was glad that I did it, made a little bit of money. It was fun. I understood people's concerns. I understood Dana's comments at the end. But it's our job to recap it. And I've always said it before, no matter what, once you've already committed to it and you sit down, you open that beer and you get comfy in your couch, stuff will happen throughout the night where you'll go like, damn, a la Friday, a la the movie Friday in the mid-90s. So we're going to go through all that, and then we'll go through all the biggest news as well. So buckle up, Junkie Nation. Here we go. Again, on a Monday, it's June 15th, early morning here in Las Vegas.
The Counter, an NFL podcast from USA Today Sports. Featuring For the Win's Steven Ruiz and Chris Corman.
I know people are like just assuming that this is an upgrade at the quarterback position, but I don't think we could say that for a fact. I'd say it's a downgrade.
He never really had game-to-game impact, just coming off the edge and destroying people that we thought when we saw his athleticism in college and at the combine.
The Counter, diving deeper into the NFL with advanced stats, film study, and expert guests. This is The Counter.
Listen and subscribe to The Counter on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, Go. So the way things started off, it was literally, damn, and then damn, and then damn. And the reason I say that is because the first three fights all ended in 1 minute, less than 1 minute. Mm-hmm. That's never happened in the history of the Ultimate Fighting Championship. So that was one hell of a start. And what was really nice was about 5 years ago, you and I were lucky enough to call the Bad Beat fights under the Bama umbrella out in Commerce, City of Commerce. We got to see a few fighters who have, you know, made the jumps from time to time. And this one was really, really cool. This was Christian Aguilera. Easy to remember because of, obviously, Christina Aguilera. You know, the name's very close. This is Christian Aguilera, a kid from, I believe, the Fullerton area, trains in Tustin, trains with Colin Oyama. Had him on the show before on Junkie Radio, but he had never made it to the UFC until this past week. He got the call about a week out, 10 days out. And then he dispatched of Anthony Ivey goes in 59 seconds. It was really, really cool to see that. And I got to share that moment a little bit with Brett Roberts, who was the promoter. I caught him in time. He had just missed the fight, but because the fight was so short, he was watching it as we were texting it. Because I told him, put on ESPN, you're not watching. So he watched it. He saw the interview. It was awesome.
He watched the replay, yeah. Which was basically the fight.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, it was cool. I think, you know, all those promoters are proud papas. I saw Ed Soares wishing all the LFA fighters good luck as well, because there was some of those guys. So it was cool. You know, he won. That was his debut. Tyson Nam, he was up next. I mean, I think around that time you were serving up your version of the Fettuccine Caliente from Tustin Brewery, So we're literally taking bites, just trying to catch up. And our mom's visiting, so I think we were trying to be polite, kind of turn down the volume a little bit. And next thing you know, Tyson Nam is dispatching of his opponent in 32 seconds.
There's just one after another.
Yeah. He's been around the block for a while as well. He usually fights at 125, but this one was a catch weight at 138.5 pounds. Now, look, some of these fighters, and I'm going to say something that might be mean in a little bit, but some of these fighters may not be in the UFC either by them not being ready or they've already had their turn and been cut. But because the UFC doesn't have access to their whole roster and they want to put on fight cards, some of these fighters are able to jump in because they're ready to go. They have a pretty decent record. So they're, if they got cut, it's because they didn't prove they should stay yet. Or if they weren't ready, they weren't there. But it doesn't mean they weren't close. You know what I mean? They're close on either side. But they're coming in and they're performing. They're making the best out of it. So here's the next one. Julia Avila defeats Gina Mazzani, who we know a lot from seeing at the gym. And I was surprised to read that she didn't know she was even cut, Goes. She was still at the UFC PI. I don't know if you read that story, but she told the story of she was on Cloud 9. She goes, I didn't even know I was cut. My former manager just did not tell me that. But the new manager, who that I know is Jason House. I don't know who the former manager was, but the new manager, Jason House, who has a big, big roster. He's very accomplished himself in the last few years, especially through the Contender Series. He told her, stay ready. We'll get you in. She fought at 155 a while back. Few months back, so she was in shape, she was ready, and then boom, she got the call. So her and Nam both came back to the UFC after being cut. Nam was able to win. Mazzani unfortunately wasn't, and I was bummed because she's one of the really nicest gals over there at Extreme Couture. However, that was a brutal knee that Julia Avila
right down the middle,
and I'm wondering if something got cracked or what, because she just winced in pain. And after that, I mean, she was just basically, you know, curled over and got hit. So what I'm hoping is that she gets one more fight, not just like, hey, we plugged you in, we needed you, but now you're cut again. I hope they get one more. I think every time you get to the UFC, you should get that second fight.
I think it's an unwritten law. When somebody comes in and kind of bails you out at the last minute, I think the unwritten law is, hey, you get that second fight. We know we're giving it to you under weird circumstances here.
True.
You'll get that
late
second
notice,
fight.
Yeah.
But see, that's what's like actually kind of scary, because if she got let go, then the UFC saying you're just not ready for the UFC. Then they call you back that quickly. That's kind of weird. Like usually a fighter's got to go out there and get 3-4 fights, right, or something, then come back. And then they make that run that some people could almost say it's their last run here with the UFC. If they can't make it work here, then they're going to be in trouble. So what happens if she gets that another loss or something? Like, she really has to make sure that this next fight that she chooses is a good quality opponent and that she has a good quality training camp.
And what happens if she wins? She almost has every right to go, do you guys know what you're doing? You cut me and I just came back and beat someone who was, I think, Avila's record's 9-1, because I had to look at her regarding rankings. So does she have every right to go, do your matchmakers know what they're doing? You cut me and I just beat her, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Do the fans have a right to go, you know, to Dana White? You see, I mean, like, this fight card isn't that good because somebody who you thought is good just lost to someone who you thought should have been cut. I mean, there's so many ways to interpret this stuff when it goes down. But this is down in the prelims, folks. And I think one thing you need to get used to is the stuff down in the prelims is just plug and play, plug and play. And I do salute the UFC in that, look, Gina Mazzani, I doubt, was making 10-10, which she didn't make the other 10. But on the regional scene, you just don't make that much. So when you get to the UFC, you are treated a little bit better. You have access to a lot of things that you don't normally have. So you, if you can make those two fights and stretch them into a year, or at least 6-9 months, I mean, under the UFC performance. Because if she gets the 1-1, she'll get one more fight. She might even survive 1-2 if she's competitive in those fights. So you can maybe stretch it out to like a year, year and a half. That's a good time to hopefully get better. But all that stuff that happens at the bottom, I think the UFC's just watching and seeing if something will explode. And if they do, okay, boom, we start shoving you to the main card. We get you to a main event. You know, it's just a big recycle of stuff that happens. You know what I mean? Marab Davishvili defeated Gustavo Lopez. Now, Gustavo is a Combates champion, Combate Americas. He filled in late notice as well. You know, these scores, 30-26, 30-26, 30-25, it looks like he got his ass whooped. But the first two rounds were actually very competitive. Like Gustavo, towards the end of the second round, the tide turned. But round one was really, really good. In fact, I thought Gustavo could have possibly won that round. And then the second round was competitive for a bit until Davish really started pouring it on. And then obviously round three wasn't anything there from Lopez. But Davish really, A, is no joke. Has awesome cardio. Mm-hmm. And then B, the other guy, it was literally as late notice as you can get. Well, so much so that Combate Americas almost didn't let him fight.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the original opponent was Ray Borg. Ray Borg dropped out. But I'll tell you what, dude. I mean, obviously, Davishvili was going to be the favorite in that fight. I bet you Gustavo probably could have beat Ray Borg that night. I thought Gustavo looked pretty decent for mm-hmm. getting that short call.
Right.
He's a guy that we always see in the gym, always prepared. So this could be the beginning of something good for him. But
he's in. The good thing is he's in.
He went up against a beast in that first fight.
He sure did. Yeah, Davishvili is no joke. Trains out of the Longo camp. This cornerman where Aya Quinta and Aljamain Sterling.
But
it's hard to tell with a lot of the face masks that are on. And sometimes they're wearing a hat or something. Like Aya Quinta's been really, really incognito. Sterling's hard to miss because of the hair. But, those guys have been, each other's training partners. They haven't had their access to their coaches. If you'll go back and check out our interview with Ray Longo on last week's Sportscaster.
If you look at what's going on, though, right now, like, look at some of the local talent that's getting shots because of the situations the UFC's in. Now you see a guy like Max Rashkoff. Uh-huh. He's getting this shot now.
So it helps to be in Vegas, for one.
Helps, yeah.
Yeah, and it helps to hopefully be part of a stable. I mentioned the Jason House stable, so that's Iridium Sports Agency, I believe their complete name is. Mm-hmm. So when you're part of that, or Dominance, or Sucker Punch, or one of the others, they have a lot of players. And look, they're scratching each other's back all the time. You know, you do something for my guy at the top, I'll do something for your guy at the bottom, and vice versa. And so, you know, fighters, make sure you vet your managers. Make sure you always stay on top of them. Make sure you monitor the scene and see who's dropping out. Be in shape for sure. But that's three fighters right there that or four. Nam had already been back, so he had been cut. Let me see. I looked back on this. Nam's got two fights since he's been back. Three. He was with X1 in 2019. He was with Fight Nights Global. So he peeled off for a few years. WSOF. Holy shit. Wait a minute. Yeah, okay. For some reason, I thought Tyson Nam was already on his second stint with the UFC. It's only his first. But he's 1-2. And yeah, that's it. I don't know why I'm so thrown off by that. Anyway, he saved his job, Goes. He fought Sergio Pettis and lost. He fought Kai Kara France and lost. And, man, I could have sworn Tyson Nam had been with the UFC twice already. Like, this being his second time. But this is only his first time. You know he's on an Elite XC card back in 2007?
Wow.
I'm always put in some time, man, in the sport. And so now he was 0-2 going into this, Goes. And this was at 138. Those other fights were at 125. And he wins. And get this, he also got 50 grand. I'll give one away right now. He won 50 grand. Wow. Good for Tyson. Okay. So now let's get to the main card. We were down to 10 fights because a couple fights were lost along the way. Maria Agapova defeated Hannah Siffers. I mean, obliterated her. Submitted her, but before that, I mean, just lit her up with the striking. That's one of the latest prospects out of American Top Team. And another one that was incognito coaching was King Mo. He was well hidden in his mask. I don't know if you noticed him. Did you?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, he was very well hidden. You could see him at the very end. Jordan Espinoza defeated Mark De La Rosa. Andre Feely defeated Charles Jourdain. That fight almost went the other way. Trust me, I was watching that one. It was a split decision. That fight was what kind of started my run towards the end where I made some money. But Jourdain actually put him down and almost beat him. I think that was in the first round too. Charles Rosa defeated Kevin Aguilar. I lost money there, man. After Rosa got beat by Bryce Mitchell, remember he got manhandled?
On the ground.
I was like, and he's coming back this quick? No way. That guy's a full-time chef. Like, I don't know. And he's low 30s, but nice guy. We've had him in studio, but I thought after that one, I go, man, I don't know. I mean, Aguilar had only lost like 3 times coming in, and they were the really, really good fighters. I thought Aguilar was going to win, and that fight prevented me from having a good night. That was a split decision for Charles Rosa. He needed that one.
I thought you did have a good night.
I did have a good night, but I could have had a great night, I guess.
Mm.
Yeah. I think I could have went 5-0 on a parlay. Instead, I went 4-1. But, you know, like I said, I bet some of these individual as well. Anyway, next up is Marvin Vettori versus Carl Roberson.
I was looking forward to this one.
Me too.
This was almost like my main event in a way.
Me too. I agree. And once Vettori started mixing up the wrestling with the jiu-jitsu, you could just tell. He didn't get him the first time, but the second time he did. And it was a nice, clean submission. But when they were striking, Roberson had landed a couple strikes, and I was like, oh, watch out now, you know. That guy's a former, like, professional kickboxer, so he's got some clean kickboxing. But Vittori's just a better all-around mixed martial artist, and they kind of settled their beef. Roberson came in 5 pounds overweight. Remember his body shut down in Jacksonville. Vettori had to be escorted out of the lobby. He was, you know, having a little meltdown there. So, yeah, these guys have been chirping at each other for like a month and probably even more before that on social media. Vettori also had another fight that was canceled. He was supposed to go to London. In fact, he did go to London. He just didn't fight. But there was supposed to be a fight in London and for him. And that's when the pandemic hit. That was the Woodley-Edwards fight. In fact, I was thinking, goes, what if Woodley had fought Edwards that night and just beat Edwards? Instead, he lost to Burns. Like, you know, it could be that Edwards beat Woodley too, but this whole thing's just kind of like shifted around in incredible ways, the pandemic. You know, like, well, you were going to fight here. Well, now you're fighting there. Remember Anthony Smith, when he lost in Jacksonville, he was supposed to fight in that fight card was supposed to be in Nebraska. So Teixeira would have been the away team, and that guy, that's where he lives, is Nebraska. What if the crowd would have lifted him to victory? Because remember, he looked so good early on. So it's been change of location, change of, well, scenery, location, dates, times, whatever. A few of these fighters probably like been like, what the fuck?
You know, yeah, you never know. One little thing like that can be a spark. I mean, just look at Conor McGregor. What would have happened if RDA didn't get hurt? Mm-hmm. His complete trajectory could have been 100% different.
Mm-hmm. So let's go back to the bonuses. Nam made the best of his. Not only was his back to the wall, he won, so he'll get another fight. He got $50,000 for it. So good for him. Christian Aguilera, he debuts. Remember, we used to watch him, if I'm not mistaken, as a lightweight out at Bama. He fought as a welterweight here. And he got the W. He gets 50 grand. Marvin Vettori, who had never gotten 50 grand before, pleaded for it. You're not supposed to do that, but he got it. Now, there was 5 decisions and 5 finishes. They decided with no fight of the night. That's the third performance of the night that I've given you. So we know that I'm not going to give you the Roberson fight because that wasn't fight of the night, or the Roberson name. I'm going to give you 4 performance of the nights. But basically, they had 5 finishes and 5 decisions. There you go. 5 and 5. So Aguilera. Yeah, I definitely see that one. I mean, he didn't put him completely out, but still, he, you know, it was, so he didn't flatten him, like, is what I'm saying. Tyson Nam, he deserved it. Julia Avila did not get one, goes, but that was a beautiful knee. Yeah. And her finish was similar to Christian Aguilera's. So she might be like, what the hell?
If it would have been a little bit sooner, the stoppage, I think maybe she could have gotten one.
Maybe. It was 22 seconds.
Because then you tie it into that. That was the quickest one. Well, what I mean is you tie it, if you could have tied it in a little bit closer to the knee, then right, it all would have blended in a little better, I think.
Right. No, I meant it was 22 seconds. Like, what more does UFC want? I mean, she obliterated her, you know? Maria Agapova, she got one. That was the fourth one. That was the submission over Hannah Siffers. Although, I think Mackenzie Dern was the one that had beaten Hannah Siffers recently. So Hannah Siffers, that was a bad run there that she just had.
Backfired.
That was 2 weeks apart, and she got submitted. Remember, she got the knee bar? She got knee barred by Mackenzie Dern, first leg lock ever. So I don't know that submitting Hannah Siffers is this huge accomplishment, but I wanted to ask you something, and I pitched it as a possible spinning back click topic, except that one's going to be slightly different from this one. On an event like this, do you think five people would get mad if they won 40 grand versus four winning 50 grand?
No.
So what I'm saying by that is, if you went to someone who just fought and they're icing them down, you know, and Doc's checking them, and they go, hey, you want a bonus, but it's only 40 grand. We decided to go with five. Five bonuses, 40 grand. Instead of four bonuses, 50 grand, because each one adds up to 200,000 either way. I think the fighter might go like, was I on the verge of being the one not getting it? Like, I don't know. Like, they don't really tell you, like, you are number one. You were the law. I mean, unless you're
like Cody Garbrandt or something.
Exactly.
You're like, oh, I mean, man, I got this.
Exactly. But on a night like this, man, I mean, a couple of those were really, really nice. You know, the submissions or whatever. But I see five decisions and five finishes, and the five finishes were all very impressive. Couldn't they have just said 40,000, five of you?
I guess. I've always liked what Victory used to do. You know, just kind of like to finish a bonus. I think there should be that. Even if it's lower than what I think most people would think it is, I think something is deserving.
Definitely. Again, Vittori, Agapova, Nam, Aguilera, 50 grand each. Julia Avila did not get 50 grand. So it was four performance of the nights. There was no fight of the night. I mean, look, if I'm looking at the decisions, Gustavo Davidovichvili was entertaining, but it didn't turn out to be. I think you have to close strong on a fight of the night. Early on, it was very, very entertaining. De La Rosa, Espinoza, no. Feely, Jourdain, maybe. Maybe. Aguilar and Rosa, And definitely not I and Calvillo. Shit, I haven't even gotten to that one. Sorry. Cynthia Calvillo defeated Jessica I. 49-46, two-time. 48-47, one-time. Calvillo was just too fast, for one. You know, I was watching them very closely when they were standing there. If you watch Jessica I stand there and you watch from her shoulder to her elbow, from her elbow to her wrist, she was just thicker, stronger, more defined than Calvillo. If she would have like pinned her down and then just boom, 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 exchanged, I think I would have won based on her power and damage. But what happened was every time she tracked her down, Calvillo could just slip in these quick punches, and then she started mixing in some takedowns, and Jessica's reaction was, she was just a little non-athletic, like she's a little stiff, you know, and so some of those like underhooks or the sprawl or, you know, her in her process of avoiding like a takedown or a strike, when she does it, it's mostly based a little bit on strength. And so when she does free up a little bit, she almost has to sit there and plod again and look for her. And again, Calvillo just boom, boom, slips in here and there, you know, back to the takedown. If Jessica could become a little bit more athletic, and by that I mean like footwork stuff, agility stuff, then maybe she would be ready so that...
Level changes.
Yeah.
There was none.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, sometimes you're able to, like, get these quick underhooks when someone tries to take you down. And then in the process of separating or disengaging, boom, boom, a lot of them throw, like, quick hooks, you know? So they'll make you pay for that a little bit. And I felt like I was just a little bit slow. And then that said, there was times where I would actually pin her down. And then right when she needed to fire off something, again, Calvillo would just fire something off at her. And so this time it wasn't due to the quickness. It was due to the, just I wasn't throwing enough or, you know, she was hesitant, I guess.
It looked like a schoolyard fight to me. You know, like they just decided to meet there and they just stood and threw punches. Each one of them had three or four punches they would throw. And that's it. There just wasn't, you know, occasionally they'd throw a head kick here and there or something, but there really just wasn't too much to that fight. But you're right. I think some footwork, level changes, explosiveness, Jessica needed to mix things up a little bit, and she didn't mix them up.
I was so strong that there was times where if Calvillo would take her back and try and choke her, and I had a hold of her wrist, and Calvillo couldn't do anything. She couldn't choke her with one arm. I'm having a hiccup attack. And, you know, she had like a body triangle on her. She would mount her. She would have both hooks in. But I was trained well in the submission defense, you know. The only problem is when you're doing that, you're definitely giving the round away because you're basically controlling the wrist, and that's that. And I think Paul Felder made a note of that. 24 hours before they weighed in, Jessica looked horrible. I think she even got caught caught with audio saying, I can barely stand. Mm-hmm. She missed by 0.25. She was at 129. Accused
of folding the curtain or whatever that thing's called. I mean, it wasn't a good run for her.
Yeah, she was at 129 and was suffering. And then that's why she said she was proud of herself for making it to 126.25, which Felder said, hey, look, you can't be proud of that. Anytime you miss, you just can't be proud of that. I think I meant I'm proud that I was able to keep pushing because I wanted to quit at 129. But even then, that would not have been a good look. And she's coming off a 5-pound loss or a 5-pound miss as well. So first of all, I think Jessica just needs to dial that part in. She needs to sail through her, you know, to be able to do her camp. You stay healthy. And then on fight week, those questions are going to keep coming up. The stress of the weight cut. She needs to figure that out or go back to 135. But at 135, she said she was outsized a little bit. So I don't know. But I feel like that alone, you know, it's got to be like, if it's taking that much out of you, the next day when you start the fight, I mean, are you at your best? Are you 100%?
She's not going to get much sympathy from people because she lives here in Las Vegas. The PI is there.
Well, not for this camp, but yeah.
Well, yeah, but they can give her...
The food.
They can give her the food. Mm-hmm. You know, she could see somebody every day if she needed to. So she probably won't get a lot of sympathy. Where I will give her credit is she's probably been in this situation before. And a little bit of a slump, and she was able to pull herself out of it.
Definitely. So, remember, she lost 4 of 5, dropped the flyweight, won 3 in a row, and earned her title shot.
Yeah, so she can turn things around and come back, but she definitely has to add new wrinkles to her game.
Yeah. All right, so there you have it. That's basically UFC on ESPN 10. It was a simulcast between ESPN and ESPN Plus. The story of the prelims was, you know, people making the most either out of their last opportunity or their first opportunity. So shout out to Tyson Nam, Christian Aguilera, and Gustavo Lopez in a losing effort. You know, he battled against Davishvili early on. He caught him a couple times with some strikes, threatened him a little bit with some submissions. So he represented himself. Mazzani was just so quick. She didn't basically do anything. She got caught with a knee, and that was it, 22 seconds in. Hopefully she gets another fight. 3 of those 4 are Extreme Couture fighters. One of them is a bad beat fighter from our days in Southern California. Goes, I'll let you guess, you've been on fire. Attendance?
This card was on a Saturday. I'm going to go with zero.
Yep. Gate.
Oh, man. All right. If you look at what normally happens in Vegas, and it's the apex now, I got to go with zero.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, wow.
You nailed it again. All right. Let's do some news bits. We're going to jump around a little bit. Some good stuff happened. Some bad stuff happened. In San Antonio, police were searching for a gunman who fled the scene Friday night. Some bar, some night spot out there in San Antonio. What happened was there was a group that were turned away at the door. Apparently, the security said they were inebriated, drunk. But check this out. One of the members of the group says, "Don't you know who I am?" This is a quote. "I am a UFC fighter from California." And that man walked back across the street to his car, got a long rifle, and then walked back to, I guess it was called the Rebar, and opened fire in the parking lot. First of all, what the fuck is this guy thinking? Like,
stupid, right?
You're drunk. They didn't let you in. I mean, and you're part of a group. Like, you ever hear of Denny's? You go to Denny's, you sober up, you laugh the night off, and then if you're still drunk at that point, you Uber home or walk home, I don't know, wherever you live. That's it, man. So you, what kind of a drunk are you that you behave that way, literally? I mean, if it wasn't going to happen here, you should not be, that guy should not be drinking. Because to react like that, seriously?
And you're part of a group? I mean, is everyone in the group that smashed? Nobody's going to say, "Hey, I think this is a dumb idea."
Mm-hmm. Stop that, man. Five women and three men were hit with bullets. 23 to 41 were the ages. Nobody passed away. It seems like
they're stable
at the local hospitals they were taken to. Who that person is, we don't know. Dana White said, "Hey, I heard about it 7 a.m. on Saturday." But they're still searching for the person. So we don't even know. I mean, it could be true that this is a UFC fighter. I only know, when I think of San Antonio, I think of three things. One, Joseph Benavidez was born there, but then he was raised in New Mexico. It ain't that fool. Two, that Alexander Hernandez kid who lost a cowboy. Remember him? And with the times we've talked to him, he seems like a good, chill kid. But you never know once alcohol is involved. And the other one is Ray from San Antonio, a listener of ours, who might just have gotten drunk and pretended he was a.
Well, but so the guy said, "I'm a UFC fighter from California."
From California, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. That could very easily just be somebody saying something stupid, especially if they're drunk, right?
Yeah. So it just gives the UFC a bad name. You know, that's why Dana White was getting blown up at 7 a.m. But anyway, moving on. Jorge Masvidal had stated, he did an article that's prominent on our front page. And he continues to give his side of take it or leave it, you know, because people were asking him, "Hey, you signed an 8-fight contract. You're only one fight in. You got seven left. What's the deal?" And he says, "They called me the night before and they basically said, take it or leave it. That's why I signed what he signed for with Nick Diaz." And they were trying to, I guess, pay him the same for, or whatever the contract says for, according to Dana White, for the Usman fight. That thing won't go away. Now, it started with Jones, then with Masvidal. Of course, Conor retired, but I don't think that's really linked to fighter pay. I think it's just he can't fight right now. He wants to fight, but the UFC wants to save him for an arena. But you notice how that thing started to die down, and then Masvidal, you know, kind of put that out on Twitter, and so it's still there hovering. But that said, goes, some big fights were made, man, last week. I don't know, do you think it's going to be one of those times where that just loses steam? I think it's starting to a little bit, or what do you think is eventually going to happen?
I think it's starting to fizzle out a little bit, but I don't know if you've noticed, there's been a group of kind of older UFC veterans and retired fighters that have kind of come out, and they've been a little bit of vocal. And then some of them even went at Joe Silva They all had a roast of him.
Really? I didn't see that.
Yeah, there's a lot of fighters giving Joe Silva stories from back in the day on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely fighters are starting to come out a little bit more. I know Gray Maynard was one of them, you know, giving details about his contract. Sam Stout was another, talking about UFC pay.
I did see Sam Stout.
So it fizzled out a little bit, but at the same time, more people are talking about it. So we'll see. We'll, like we said, man, this is an individual sport, and all it takes is for one of those guys to be happy, and then they go away. It's not like they're working as a group, you know, where if John Jones gets his money, he says, make sure Jorge gets his, and Nate gets it. Like, that's not how this is working.
Mm-hmm.
So really, you make one guy happy, you just got rid of a big piece of the puzzle.
You mentioned Ray Borg earlier. He was supposed to fight against Merab Dvalishvili, and he left in the middle of the week. He said family's more important, something along the lines. Well, he updated us. Remember, his son Anthony was born in 2018 with a brain condition, and that condition can, I guess, flare up, we'll say. You know, so I think it's going to be one of those where the little boy is, you know, always a little bit at risk for a possible surgery. So Ray updated everybody by saying, quote, thank you all very much for the overwhelming love and support. As you know, I pulled from my fight to be with my son, with his condition being lifelong. He is at risk for surgery every day. Although there were some worries about his shunt failing due to malfunction symptoms, I'm happy to let everyone know that he's at home doing well and will not need any surgery. Thank you, everyone who had reached out. We love you all. So that's great to hear. Gustavo Lopez again stepped in for Ray Borg and lost that fight to Merab Dvalishvili. I don't know when Ray Borg will be able to fight again. Remember, Ray Borg just fought. What was that? Like UFC 249 in Jacksonville?
Not long ago.
Yeah.
Three weeks ago? Month tops?
Yeah, who did he fight again?
Was a knock him, drag him out type fight. But I don't remember.
He had just fought Simone. Simone was just the bigger version, you know, because this whole thing, he can't make flyweight, but the bantamweights are a little bit too big. It was on May 13th they fought. So it was about a month ago. Split decision loss. So he was going to fight again, and it was going to be again against a bantamweight who has endless cardio. I don't know what he can do. Hell, I don't even know if mentioning Dolce's name means anything anymore, because Dolce's been so kind of removed.
It does, because he's undefeated.
It does, but I think the UFC's they're not giving him fights at flyweight. Each time we hear the same thing out of him and Gastelum, like, all right, I'm just going to dial it in. This time I got to get serious. But those are just bigger dudes. You know, they're probably, he's probably a 130 guy, but there's no 130 weight class.
Mm-hmm.
And Gastelum is probably a 175 guy, not a 170 guy, but 185 is too big. I mean, that said, him and Izzy had a battle of the ages. So who knows? Here's something that I don't bring up often. The UFC 10 or ESPN 10 UFC promotional guidelines compliance payouts. That sounds so fancy. Basically, this is the Reebok pay. Calvillo 5,000, I 10,000, Vettori and Roberson 5,000 each. Dude, it doesn't get any better than that. You know why? Because nobody's had long tenure in the UFC, which means out of this group, which means this card just wasn't stacked. And towards the end, Dana White addressed that because he had heard the complaints and he went back to his old bread and butter. You don't like the card? Don't watch it. You know, watch mm-hmm. the next one. And he can pull it off, and it pisses fans off. Because I know fans are like, you just lost a customer. And I think he's like, well, fuck you then. Because another one will be around pretty soon. You know, fighting's a very, very interesting sport. And he's right. He really, really is right. Because all you have to do is sit down and watch. Okay, who is this? Aguilera? Oh, yeah, against Ivy. All right, I'll sit there. And then you see a KO. You're like, shit. Okay, cool. Let's watch the next one. And then the next one happens and it's great. And next thing you know, you can be hooked really, really easily.
Especially in a time when there's no sports. So I hear what he's saying.
But I've always said, if you're going to do the rounds of media and go, this is a great card. It's stacked. Then don't get mad when a fan goes, hey, I'm watching the fights, but this card is not stacked. But I'm watching it because I love MMA, but this card is not stacked. You know, I mean, it's the same as you and I work in corporate America. And I go, you want to grab a beer afterwards? The game of the week is on. You have every right to go, man, it's the Kings against the Suns. You know, and we're gonna have a beer. Let's go watch it. We'll put a bet. The Suns are -3, and next thing you know, we're high fiving because they win by 4 at the very end. Well, that's a lot different than if we go, hey, the Lakers and the Spurs are playing. You know, like, and you're like, oh shit, I'm there. You know, so fans do that all the time. He just takes it a little bit personal because he's active on social media. But like I say, a basketball game with losing records or a fight can still be good. It's just on paper. You have every right to critique it and go, I mean, these guys are 10-38 and the other team's 9-40. Like,
he's gotten a little sensitive over the years.
And he shouldn't, because he's halfway to being a billionaire. I always say that one. So anyway, folks, Ghost stole another one from earlier that was basically on the list, and we're very happy for him. Max Rashkoff is going to fight, and I don't want to go overboard, but they say this guy might be the next real deal out of Las Vegas. From Ohio, wrestled in North Carolina at one of the schools, but he's been in Vegas for years. What is that? Extreme Couture for a long time, but now he's with Drysdale. Robert Drysdale here in Las Vegas, but I think this guy's going to have a good debut. Now, Austin Hubbard is not a tomato can, but still, I'm happy for the kid.
Max is a tough guy. Mm-hmm. I believe he does his sparring at Extreme Couture, and then just the rest of his camp is at with Drysdale.
Yeah. All right, folks. So, look, that's about it, man. It's kind of slow when it comes to the news, and as far as the results were the results, you know, like, we didn't have the most stacked card out there, but the fighters went out there. They did their job. They performed, and I think there's a couple fighters to get excited about, and a few that showed us some stuff. Like, it'll really be interesting to see how they're gonna do, what they're gonna do with Cynthia Calvillo. Right away, Caitlin Chookagian was calling her out on Twitter, and that would be huge. And I'm telling you, this was a headache to rank the flyweights because I had to take Calvillo's strawweight resume and see what I could make out of it as a flyweight. But I also didn't want to react and say, boom, she's now the number 4. You know, like, she's only 1-0 as a UFC flyweight. You can't just knee-jerk and overreact. So I took a little bit of a tumble. Calvillo's going to make a little bit of a splash, but I could not reflect the head-to-head. Not yet. It's too soon. Sometimes you just can't do it. Anyway, all right, folks, we are out of here. Don't forget to join us on Wednesday on Sportscaster for our next Junkie Radio episode. This one will be live with some video. May even be able to lock down a guest. We'll see. Noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Sportscaster. Again, I repeat. And always keep it locked on MMA Junkie. There's some big fight cards coming up, including Alexander Volkov versus Curtis Blaydes this Saturday. We'll see you then. Go out there and be a champion.